verses of Scripture. One from the 32nd chapter of Psalms. One from the 28th chapter of Proverbs. Psalms 32, Proverbs 28. First of all, from Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Let me read that again. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. 28th chapter of Proverbs, the 13th verse. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let me read that again. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We have just recently celebrated Christmas, celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he left the splendors of glory, took on the form of man, coming into this world to be our Redeemer, to save us from our sins. And I'm thankful for the Christmas season. Then last Sunday, being the first Sunday of the year, we had communion Sunday evening around the table of the Lord, and we were remembering his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise to come again. Amen. Amen. We sing the chorus that tells the gospel story. It says, God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty tomb is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because he lives, and I can say amen. Thank God for his Son, Jesus. Amen. Whatever the year 2012 might have in store for you and your family, you can have faith and trust in God. And I'd like to share this to begin with, and you can live in victory. Brother Jones, how about if I'm going through a hard place on the job? You can live in victory. Suppose there is sickness in my body, you can live in victory. Suppose I'm having a hard time financially, you can live in victory. Because your Father owns it all. Amen. Amen. These two verses of Scripture that I've read have to do with sin. One verse was written by King David, the king of Israel, and the other was written by his son, Solomon. Let me make a statement here. Each of these men, both of these men, knew something about sin. They found out that sin separates from God. And they also found out that if you're going to have a relationship with God, you'll have to get rid of sin. And as I was reading the two verses and comparing what David said and then his son Solomon said, they realized that sin separates from God, and they must, in order to have a relationship, they must do something about it. I've often mentioned this, and I'm going to repeat it today. Your definition of holiness. Your definition of what the Bible means about being holy, living holy, will surely determine whether you make it to heaven or not. And the same is as we look to sin. Your definition of what sin is or what sin is not can determine where you spend eternity. Let me use some illustrations. Did you know there are some Orthodox Jews that believe that it's a sin to utilize any energy whatsoever on the Sabbath day? Not even turning on the coffee pot. Use no energy. I've often mentioned not even flipping that switch. They're very strict on that. There are some that teach that it's a sin to have a TV in your house. I know of a preacher that preached against it strongly. And he had a TV in his house. That's hypocrisy. Some teach that it's wrong for a woman to ever trim her hair. Some teach it's wrong for a man to have a mustache or a beard or a goatee. And the list goes on and on. But I want to make a statement this morning. Did you know it's not up to us to make the guidelines? God makes them. This is not our prerogative to decide what is sin and what is not. God has outlined. We need to know what thus saith the Lord. He's the one that gives the rules of the guidelines. In the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, of all of these trees you may eat and enjoy them, but that tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not to eat of that. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God made the guidelines. And you know the story. How did they fail God? So I would like to begin with here to just mention what sin is according to the Bible. This is not what Abundant Life Tabernacle says it is, or the Baptist church across the street says it is. What the Bible says it is, thus saith the Lord. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. What is the law? What God says. All of it. If God says something for you and me to do and we refuse to do it, that's sin. You can say amen. And then secondly, there's a scripture in the next, in the fifth chapter of 1 John that says, all unrighteousness is sin. Everything that is wrong, everything that is evil, everything that is unchristlike, anything that is unjust, unholy, is sin. God has given the outline. Now, I know what I am preaching about on the second Sunday of the new year is not popular in the Christian world. I know that. Many have been taught in the Bible schools and seminary and what have you. Now, when you stand behind the pulpit, don't ever preach anything negative and don't ever preach about sin or never preach about hell. Listen, I didn't go to seminary, so I just preach what the Bible says. Sin is transgressing the law of God. And that which is unjust and unrighteous and unholy and unchristlike is sin. I've mentioned these two definitions. Each of them will separate a person from God. I'm going to use three illustrations quickly here. You have read in the Bible, many of you Bible scholars, you've read about the man called Jacob. How that he deceived his brother Esau. And when he deceived his brother was mad at him. And his brother said, I will kill him when I get an opportunity. And I have the opportunity, I will kill my brother. And so the mother found out about it, knew about it. She was a part in it, on it. And she said to her son Jacob, and remember this, Jacob was a little tiny boy. He was 72 years old. She said, Jacob, you better run for your life. You better get out of here. Why don't you go see your Uncle Laban in Padan Aram? Stay a few days until your brother cools down and till this anger is over, and then come on back home and we're going to all live happily ever after. Sin separated Jacob from his family. He went out from his family, separated. He didn't come back a few days later or a few weeks later or a few months later. And when he came back, his mama was dead. Sin separates. He went out because of what he'd done. And I want you to remember those three words. He went out. I read on in the Bible and I came to a man, a prophet by the name of Elisha. He had a gentleman by the name of Gehazi was his servant. And the Bible says there came a time when, and I'm not going through the whole story, but how Naaman came from Syria and dipped in the Jordan River when Elisha told him what to do and was healed, and he wanted to give a gift to the prophet. And the prophet said, it's not for sale. And so he left, and Gehazi ran after him and said, told a lie. And he received the gift from Naaman. And he went on back to the house and as if nothing had happened, and Elisha said, where have you been? He said, I haven't been anywhere. Listen closely. the prophet was in touch with God. And God knows everything. And if God tells His prophet something, you better believe it. And the Bible says, because of Gehazi lying and doing what he did, Elisha said, leprosy that Naaman had and now he's healed, the leprosy that he had will be yours and your seed forever. And the Bible says that Gehazi went out a leper. Do you know what it did? It separated him not only from his master, it separated him from his family, it separated him from society, it separated him from being able to go to worship in the temple of God. It separated him. Sin separates. He went out a leper, calling out wherever he went, unclean, unclean, unclean. I'm unclean. So that the people would not come in his direction. And then the third one that I'd like to mention is Judas Iscariot, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the night before Jesus was crucified, he came to the garden with the mob and betrayed Jesus. And the Bible says these words, and he went out and hanged himself. Jacob went out because he deceived his brother. And he was separated from his family. Jacob went out. Gehazi went out. The Bible tells me. And a leper separated from society. And now Judas Iscariot has betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes out. And the Bible says he hangs himself. Lost forever. Jot this down if you will in your mind. It's always that way. Sin. Sin will always separate men from God, a man from his wife, a father from his children. And on and on and on he goes. Sin, sin, sin separates. And as you read the Bible, you find that there are two ways of covering sin. Man's way and God's way. Two ways of trying to cover sin. I would like to preach this morning concerning those two ways. I'm going to run through some things, but I hope that you'll understand. I have used three words, he went out. I would love to have this church packed out this morning. But I'm used to preaching with churches not packed out. I would to God that everybody that walked out that door this morning would go out ready to meet God. Saved by the blood. With victory in their hearts. So I want to use the way that man has devised to cover his sins. Then I'd like to finish by how God goes about it. Go with me in your mind all the way back to the first chapter of the Bible. I'm not going to be reading how that God created man in His own image. And the Bible says, male and female created He them. Mankind consists of man and woman, according to the Bible. Then the Bible, in the way I've just mentioned, how that God gave the law, the words to say, you can eat of all the trees except the one, God laid out some guidelines. And the Bible tells me that in the course of time, God would come and worship with them and fellowship with them and enjoy their company from day to day, from evening to evening. And one day, Satan came and deceived Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned, and when they sinned, the Bible says, they realized their nakedness. Guess what they did? They tried to cover the sins. They went to a fig tree. Anybody here familiar with fig trees? They have a large leaf. We had 22 fig leaves. We had 22 fig trees. Fox Hill, where I was raised. It's a large leaf. They sewed some fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. I want to make a statement so that everyone can understand. Fig leaves are never large enough to cover sin. Strip the whole tree, sew every one of them together, still not large enough to cover sin. God sees all. God sees it all. Isn't it amazing when you're a youngster? You do things wrong and you hope daddy doesn't find out. You hope that daddy didn't see it. But God sees it all. Here was Adam and Eve. And when God came into the garden, "Where art thou?" He cried out. The first question asked by Almighty God of man in the Bible. "Where art thou?" They were hiding behind the trees because sin had separated them. They have enjoyed the fellowship evening after evening, day after day with the Almighty God. But today there's no fellowship. Sin separates. I read on to the next chapter. I found out that after they sinned, put out of the garden, they have a son. And they have another son. And as they're growing up, the older son by the name of Cain rises up against his younger brother, Abel, because God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's offering because Cain didn't go God's route. Somebody said, "Brother Jones, all I do is do the best I can." Your best is not enough. Cain gave the best of the fruit of the ground, but it wasn't what God said. And the Bible says that he, with his anger, he rose up and killed his brother Abel out there in the field and buried him in the field. And thought, "No one will ever know what happened. I'll tell Mom and Daddy, I don't know. I saw him and then he was gone." But I'm going to make a statement. God saw it. And God said something like this, "Cain, where's your brother?" And he said, "Am I my brother's keeper? How do I know?" And God says, "Well, I hear his voice calling to me from the ground." And I want to leave this with you. Adam and Eve couldn't cover their sins with fig leaves. And Cain couldn't bury his brother deep enough to hide sin. If he'd have dug it 60 feet deep, it wouldn't have been deep enough. Man tries to cover his sins. I have known some folks in the course of our ministry that were running into so many difficulties, and they made the statement, "If I can just leave this area, leave these that are causing me to falter, if I can get away from my job and those on the job that I have a hard time with, if I can just leave my community where it seems like I cannot live with God, if I can just go to some other city, some other state, and start all over again." Listen closely. Usually that doesn't amount to nothing. You know why? Because when you get to the other state, it's you. That was the problem all the time. And here, I find that Cain is trying to cover his sin by burying his brother deep in the earth. I came to the 7th chapter of Joshua. God had given a promise to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And let me mark this down in your mind as well. God did not bring the children of Israel out of Egypt for them to perish in the wilderness. God brought them out that He might bring them into the promised land. God didn't save us and bring us out of sin to be destroyed in this world. God brought us out that He might bring us in. Amen, amen. And this is what God said when they came down to the end of the journey of 40 years and Moses has died on Mount Nebo. He says, "Joshua, now I want you to take this people. I want you to lead them across the Jordan River. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to lead them across the Jordan River. And when you come over there, you're going to run into the city of Jericho. I want you to go in with faith and believe that you can take the city. I'm going to give you the way to do it. I want you to march around the city. One day, that one time, the first day, and on the rest." You know the story. But he said these words: "When you march around that city the seventh day, and the seventh time on the seventh day, and you begin to shout, and the priest begin to blow those ram's horns, the walls are going to come down flat, and I want you to march forward and take the city. It's yours. One stipulation. Don't you put one thing in your pocket. Don't you take one thing of the spoil. It belongs to me." God said, "This is the first city. I'm going to give you the land. This is the first city. This is my tithe. It's not yours. And we find one man by the name of Achan that went into some place and saw a golden wedge. Now he's been either come out of Egypt as a slave, or either he was born in the wilderness. All he knows is a hard life. And there's a golden wedge. And he looked around and there are some beautiful Babylonian garments. Valuable. He looked this way and this way and saw the one, so he took them with him. Went back to his tent and buried them under the floor of his tent. Covered them up. No one will know. And when we've taken the land, I'll get that golden wedge and those valuable clothing that I found, and I will be able to live comfortably in the new land. Listen closely. God sees all. And it wasn't long until Achan was brought before the council. And he confessed his sin. Listen to this. They took him and stoned him to death. Brother Jones, why? Because he took what belonged to God. That's a dangerous thing. He took what belonged to God and he thought he could cover it up. And no one would know. And he put it under the floor of his tent. I went on to one other illustration. I came to one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Found in 2 Samuel chapter number 11 about King David. When I read this, and I read it when I was a youngster, I read the Bible through before I graduated from high school. King David was a great warrior, the great king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. God even promised that I'm going to extend your kingdom forever. And one of these days, the son of David by the name of Jesus of Nazareth is going to reign from the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. One day, rather than go to battle with his men, David stayed home. I'll not go through the whole story. As he was in the palace, looking out over the city, he saw Bathsheba in her privacy of her own home, separated from all out there. Saw her bathing herself, and something stirred in the very heart of David, desiring her. She was another man's wife. Her husband was a GI. He was on the battlefield fighting for Israel, protecting the country at that very moment. And he calls for her, sends for her, has an affair with her, and she comes up pregnant. King of Israel. Everybody loves him. Everybody thinks now he's a great man of God. But something is eating him alive. Sin will separate. Sin will cause you to do something you thought you'd never do. And when he found out, he called for Joab and said, send this lady's husband Uriah. Send him from the battlefield. And when he comes, the king talked to him, and in essence he's saying this, Uriah, you are a great soldier. You have been on the battlefield. We'd like to give you some R&R. We want you to just take it easy, come home, be with your wife, be with your family, have a 3-day pass or 7-day leave or whatever, and then you can go back to the battlefield. But listen closely, Uriah was a better man than David at this time. Rather than going home and be with his wife, he refused. When David found out about it, he wrote a message, rolled it up, handed it to Uriah. He said, give this to the general when you get back on the battlefield, to Joab. And he gave it to the Joab, and Joab said, David said to Joab, put this man in the hottest part of the battlefield. Let the enemy kill him. He's one of the best men they've got. David said, everything will be all right. David tried to cover his sin. This is what happened. Joab put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle. Uriah was killed in the battle. Joab sent word to King David and said, Uriah's dead. And I can see the relief that comes over King David's life. Uriah's dead. His wife is expecting a child.
People would think that when he came home on vacation, a furlough, a R&R, that he was with his wife and the child is his. And when the child is born, everybody would think that it's Uriah's. And I feel so sorry for him and for his wife. But listen, God saw it all. He tried to cover his sin by having the man killed.
Until a prophet came along and told him a story, and David was ready to rise up in arms against the story, the man in the story. And Nathan the prophet said, David, you're the man. Be sure your sin will find you out. I'll leave this with you today. Man cannot cover his sins. Man cannot cover his sins. I've been in homes. I've been to a home, more than one. Knocked on the door. I could hear some people moving, but they didn't come to the door. I looked and I saw a curtain move. Isn't that amazing? And in a moment or two, they would cry out, I'll be there in a minute. And when I got in, I found out that they had sprayed. Something they didn't want us to smell. How often people try to cover sin. What is that? It's not Is it Gersol? New and renewed or something? I don't do much. Some things you can spray and man, it smells good. But listen closely. There's not enough spray made in this world to cover sin. Sin separates. Sin separates. This is what happened. David's sin has separated him from God. And days went by and weeks went by. He's still the king. He's still acting religious. The people are coming to him believing that he's the man. Down inside, something was eating him alive. Sin will separate you from God. And the only way that he got in relief, it's when he turned his life back to God in the 51st chapter of Isaiah. Lord, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. I've already told you four illustrations of how man tries to take care of his sin. He tries to cover him himself. I told you the story about my wife and I when we first got married. I happened to be a sinner. So was she. I happened to be a lying sinner. I told her before we got married, honey, one thing I will not do, I will not drink and I will not smoke. I don't know whether I told her that to get her or not. I told her. I would come home from the radio station after we got married and I smelled like Chesterfields, Lucky Strike, something. My wife would ask me, well, honey, it's not me. I work with guys all the time and that radio station is full of smoke, and that's just in my hair. That was a long time ago. Just in my clothes. Sin will cause you to lie. I told you this as well. It's a true story. We were really well off. We had a 1941 Ford. This is 1954. I thought I'd go downstairs. We lived in an apartment upstairs. We just got married. I told my wife, I'm going downstairs to wash the car. I won't go wash that car. I had something under the front seat. And so she came down after a while to find out how it's doing. And I had one of those in my hand or in my lips. And I don't know what happened to it till this day. I don't believe I ate it, but I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. Sin will cause you to do some terrible things. I am glad for the night that my wife and I walked down the aisle together, knelt in the altar and asked God to forgive us. And He saved us from our sins. And I haven't had to lie to her one time since. Brother, that's a good life. I believe this. If I had not got saved,
I imagine our marriage would have gone on the rocks, and we would have split up, and we would have at each other's throat, maybe. But I'm glad that I got saved. Amen. I don't have to cover my sins. I want to finish up the sermon this morning. The blood of Jesus covers our sins. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I want to read some scripture today. Thank God for the blood. I know a lot of people today don't like to hear about it. It's too gory. It's too gory. It's whatever it might be, they don't like to hear about the blood. But I thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a couple of scriptures I would like to read. As I wind down here, I'd like to share this with you. In the 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah, Hezekiah had just received word. And the prophet had said, you're going to die. God told me to tell you you're going to die. Get everything ready. And when Isaiah left the room, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. He began to pray. He said, God, I've served you. I loved you. I've done everything I know to do. I've tried to be a good king. Could you spare my life? God said, Isaiah, turn around. Go back to tell the king I've heard his prayer. I'm giving you 15 more years. When Isaiah told him, God's going to give you 15 more years, this is what he did. He began to give thanks to God. Praising God. Let me read the scripture. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me anymore. Isaiah said, God has cast my sins away. And I'm glad he does. I read the 44th chapter of Isaiah. He said, God said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. He's erased them all from the book. David said in the 103rd Psalm, as far as the east is from the west, as so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Let me say it one more time today. We need the blood of Jesus to wash sins away. First Peter 18:19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 John 1:7, as Raleigh mentioned in the devotion yesterday morning, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There is only one covering for sin outlined in this Bible, and it's the blood of Jesus. My wife is coming to the piano. I'd like to mention this. We're going to sing a chorus and we're going to pray. Some have been told that if you'll join the church, that will take care of your sin problem. If you will be baptized in water, that will take care of your sin problem. If you will do penance, if you will do some good works, if you will light some candles, if you will say so many prayers, if you do this, listen closely. You can do all of that for the next 10,000 years and it will never cover your sins. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. No other fount I know. What's the next words? Is it in the course book? 148 in the hymn book. We're just going to sing that course. I want you to stand with me.